Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. It is December 13th, Sunday night, and it is Christmas time here. And we're really excited about the things that God is doing. And I want to talk a little about Christmas and a little about the coming of the Lord and Savior who has come to save us from our sins. But I want to put it in context of your life. And if you're having trouble believing God for something, if you're having trouble believing that God's going to come through for you, I want to let you know that you're in good company. In fact, most of the characters, the major characters in the Christmas story, had trouble believing God when he told them what was going to happen. And I want you to read a passage that I've put on the message notes portion of your screen. And I just want you to read with a new eye towards watching how these characters, these central characters in the Bible story, move from doubt and doubting God to faith and putting their faith in God and actually believing him. And God has called me to encourage you in your faith. Whether you believe in God or whether you don't believe in God, God has told me to encourage people in their faith, because Jesus will come back one day and the Bible says he's going to ask whether there's any faith on earth at all. And I want there to be faith on earth, and God wants there to be faith. And it's going to take faith to get through what God is bringing about these end days. So I just want to encourage you in your faith, and I want you to step out in faith. So if you'll take a look at the story on your message notes, if you don't have that in front of you, you can also look in your Bible. It's in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 66. And I'm going to give you plenty of time right now just to read that story, to read it with a fresh eye. Look especially at the characters of Zechariah and Mary, and how Zechariah and Mary both doubt God. And then, at one point, they each believe God, and they trust that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And the entire world was changed through the birth of their two children, Jesus and John the Baptist. And that believing in God can make a big difference in your life, too. So enjoy reading this Christmas story one more time. Happy Hanukkah if you're celebrating the menorah starting tomorrow. I pray that that would be a blessed time for you as well. And just as we celebrate all the things that God has done in our lives, I pray that this message would speak to you tonight. At the end of the night, I have a special story that I think you'll find touching, so I hope you'll stay around for the full half hour so you can see how God can work in your life. Enjoy reading Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 66. Let me tell you, if you have doubts about God and what He's going to do, three things tonight. One is, you're not alone. Many people have had doubts. It comes right after believing what God has said. When God speaks to you, all of a sudden doubt follows right on its heels, and doubt comes right into your head. It's happened for these characters that you just read about. It happened for Moses, for Abraham, for Sarah, Peter, Thomas, of course. And there is a choice that we have to make, and everyone will make a choice whether they're going to believe God or whether they're going to continue in doubt. And so tonight I want to talk about the fact that you're not alone. I want to talk about the choice that we have to make, and also I want to encourage you to step out in your faith. Let's take a look at those characters first, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, which is a little bit different from what is on your screen, but it gives you a fuller sense of what was going through their minds. Look at Mary. I've left the verses there on the screen if you want to look back with me. After, in verse 28 of the first chapter, the angel comes and says, "Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women." And in verse 29, here's the doubt that she goes through. Listen to these words. "But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean." Here she was greatly troubled, she was disturbed, and she was confused. All feelings that you wouldn't think you'd get when you hear clearly from God, when you see an angel from God. It says that these thoughts kept revolving in her mind about what such a greeting might mean. It's like her head was spinning around, and you've probably had that happen, I know I have, where you just feel like your head is spinning with thoughts, and you can't seem to stop them. You're confused and you're disturbed. But then the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for you have found grace and favor with God." And the angel goes on to describe what will happen. Excuse me. You can pray for me as well, that I'd have faith to overcome a cold that I'm fighting. But God has said to focus on giving you this message tonight, because I know there's some of you out there this week that really need to hear this. So I'm going to continue to give it out. Zechariah, here's where he expresses his doubt in verse 18, if you'll back up a little bit. Verse 18, after the angel tells Zechariah what will happen, Zechariah says to the angel, "By what shall I know and be sure of this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel replied to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and I have been sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news. Now behold, will continue to be silent and not able to speak till the day when these things take place, because you have not believed what I told you. But my words are of a kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time." So here's where he has the doubt, and even the angel recognizes it and says, even though you don't believe, I'm going to continue to fulfill my word, which sometimes God's just going to do it whether you believe it or not, and he'll show you when the time comes to believe. But here he says, because you haven't believed it, I'm going to do something. I'm going to keep you from being able to speak until the time comes when the birth has taken place, and then your tongue will be free to speak again. This is common, and it was common with me as well. Just doubts have flooded my mind as I've had to make decisions about God. 11 years ago, when I made my initial decision to trust Christ, just prior to that, the doubts just continued to go through my mind until that moment when I made a choice to believe. And on various other things in the past 11 years where God has spoken something to me, and that doubt immediately comes in my mind. It's just good to know that you're not alone, and none of us are alone. We're in good company. But God doesn't leave it there, and He doesn't want us to continue in doubt or to persist in doubt. He wants us to step out in faith. As Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Jesus said to His disciples many times, He rebuked them for their lack of faith. He said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt and not believe?" It was as if they had a choice, that they could have chosen to believe or to doubt. And at times they chose to doubt. And God wants us to believe. So I'm going to pray with you later tonight that you'll be able to make that choice. Look at where these people did make their choice and just what an effect it had. Mary made her choice somewhere between when the angel spoke to her and when she went to visit Elizabeth. In verse 45, if you look there with me, here's Elizabeth speaking to Mary, and Elizabeth says, And blessed is she, Mary, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord. Mary recognized at that moment that Mary had believed, and Elizabeth says, blessed are you who believe that there will be this fulfillment. And Mary, just full of faith at that time, said, my soul magnifies and extols the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked upon the low station and humiliation of his handmaiden. And behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed and declare me happy and to be envied. So here, Mary finally gets that faith. And she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And she just can't contain herself as that faith wells up within her. Look at Zechariah. This is even more compelling to me and more interesting in the way that he is able to express his faith. In verse 59, this is many months later when that baby has been born, and it's on the eighth day and they're going to name the child, and Zechariah still cannot speak at this time. Verse 59 says, and it occurred that on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, they were intending to call him Zechariah after his father. Now, these are all his relatives are gathered around, and others, and they're going to just name the baby Zechariah. They're going to name him after his father. But the mother answered and says, not so, but he shall be called John. Now, this shocks everyone in the room because they say, none of your relatives is called by that name. How can you call him John? We don't have anyone in your family line called John. And amidst this, it says they inquired with signs to the father as to what he wanted to have him called. Here's a point where Zechariah had to make a choice. Either he was going to just let this go by, ignore what the angel said, or what I believe happened is he finally had the faith. He, throughout this process, after the angel spoke to him, said he was going to have a son, and his name was to be John, and told him what the son was going to do, all of a sudden Zechariah, or not all of a sudden, but over time, his faith built up as he saw his wife get pregnant. And this is the days before ultrasound, so they didn't know what sex the baby was going to be. But lo and behold, the baby is born, and it is a boy, just like the angel predicted. And that has sure to got to increase his faith. If it was a daughter, I don't know what he would have done, but he had the son, just like the angel said he would. And the angel said the next thing was going to be that they were going to name him John. So here's where Zechariah has to step out in faith and make a choice. And it's very hard, I believe, for Zechariah, who has all these relatives around who are saying, no, his name's going to be something else. It's going to be Zechariah. There's nobody named John in your family. Why would you name him John? But Zechariah makes that choice. And it says in verse 63, then Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. I believe when he wrote those words, his name is John, that he was expressing his faith and he was making a statement of faith. And look what happens. They all were astonished, and at once his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, blessing and praising and thanking God. And awe and reverential fear came on them and all their neighbors. And it goes on to talk about how Zechariah couldn't contain himself, and that faith came out, and he prophesied about what John was going to be and what kind of child this was going to be. And all the people were filled with awe and fear just by seeing that the angel really did speak to John. I know I had a choice 11 years ago where I had to say, God, I think I know enough about Jesus, but I'm not sure if I can make that decision to really follow him or not. And then I heard that Jesus was going to come back one day, and when he came back, it would be too late. He would shut the door, and he wouldn't let anyone in who hadn't believed up to that point. And they'd be knocking on the door and following after him and saying, please let me in. And he would say, I never knew you. And I didn't want to be one of those people. And so I just, in my faith, in my spirit, when I went home that night, I just got on my bed and I just said, Lord, I do believe in you. I do believe in you. And it just welled up within me to where I just had to pour it out to God and just say, God, praise be to God. You are going to do incredible things. And God filled me with that faith that has persisted 11 years later, every day for 11 years straight. God has given me that faith and that confident assurance, just like Mary got, just like John got, just like Zechariah got, just like Moses got. the same faith that many believers I speak to have gotten as they've stepped out in faith. They've made that choice, and from then on, they're without a doubt of what God has done. We talked with a woman this week who just last week had an incredible spiritual experience, and every time we spoke to her, we would say, "Wow, do you realize God was talking to you?" And she said, "I know God was talking to me." And I said, "Do you realize what God was doing?" She said, "I know God was working." She was very convinced and very clear that God was working, and there was no convincing we could do otherwise. She was totally certain because she had been given that faith right down in her heart. And that's what I want to encourage you in as well tonight. What I'm here to do is to feed your faith so that your doubts will starve. That's a famous statement that someone has made, and it's very true. As you feed your faith and your faith increases, your doubt will starve and go down. But if you feed your doubts, your faith is going to go down in direct proportion to how much you feed your doubts. So my encouragement to you is to feed your faith. And a best way that I know how to do that is to read your Bible. Look in here. Read the stories of how God has worked in other people's lives, and it'll give you faith that He's going to work in your life too. It'll give you faith that He's going to be there for you. It'll give you faith to know how He's going to answer your request, because He's answered many other people's requests just like yours for the last 6,000 years. So I want to encourage you to look in your Bible. I want to encourage you to feed your faith by reading some of the stories at the ranch. Read some of the testimonies of how God has worked in people's lives. And even one woman this week, she said she came to the ranch. I don't know this woman. She left her name here, but I'll leave it off just for the sake of anonymity. But she said, "I just wanted to write you and let you know how much I enjoy the trails at the ranch. I met Jesus 10 years ago, but struggled all 10 years because of the way I grew up. Much abuse in every way. I don't know why I never fully trusted Christ before, but the other night I was surfing around and came to the trails. I first wanted to write you and your wife for help or explain what a failure of a Christian I was. But God stopped me and said, talk to me. I did. I poured out my heart to Him instead of another human person who could only point me to Him. I have been set free from fear and much more. Thank you for the trails. I know God has used it to do what has occurred. Thank you. Free in Him." And she signs her name. Here she says, "I don't know why I never fully trusted God before, but as I came and as I read these things, it just encouraged me to talk to God." And she did, and she just got things right with God, and God spoke to her and healed her and freed her of things that had been plaguing her, as she says, for 10 years. She's never fully trusted God like that before. I say this because God is working in people's lives without even our intervention, without someone else's intervention. It's the Holy Spirit Himself is just coming down and touching people and instilling faith in them. And so I want to pray that that same faith would be instilled in you tonight. I want to sing a song as well that as I was just preparing this message and working on it this week, I was just worshiping God and just playing the piano and really just ministering to God. It was just a sweet time of just me with the Lord and just playing and just saying, "God, I just pray that these sounds would be pleasing to You." And I just played, and I'm not sure even what I was playing, but I just continued to play to God. And as I did, God just started pouring out things into me about this Christmas story. And one of my questions has been, you know, are we really that special? Is every person made special? Does every person have a special purpose? Or are we all just called to do the same thing? We're all called to be good people. We're called to follow Jesus. We're called to go and proclaim His name wherever we are in the workplace. But God really showed me that God does create each one of us special, that He's given each one of us a special and unique role in what He's going to do. And here's how He touched me. He showed me Mary, who was a humble handmaiden, and God chose her. God just chose her and said, "You are the favored one, and your role, Mary, is to carry My Son into the world. Out of all the people that are alive in this generation, I've chosen you to carry My Son. Out of all the people that have ever lived, I've chosen you to carry My Son." And I realized He did different things for other people. He chose Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. He chose Paul to take the message to all the non-Jewish people, all the people who had never heard about God before. He told Paul to do that. He told John what was going to happen at the end of the world, and John wrote that down in Revelation, and we have that now for all of time until the end comes. God has a unique role for each one of us, and it's encouraging to me that he's got one for me, and I want to pray with you when I come back from this song that he's got one for you as well, and that you'll be able to know what it is and to walk in that calling that God has given you. Here's the song, and it was about Mary. And some people raise Mary to a different status than I would raise her to, but there is no doubt from reading the story that Mary was blessed of God and that she would be called blessed among all women. And as I read this, I just thought about God and how he came upon Mary and how the Holy Spirit conceived a child within her. And I just realized how special and precious she was to God, just like each one of us is special and precious as well. So I just want to sing this song, then we'll come back and pray, and I want to give you one touching Christmas story. Get your Kleenex if you don't have them handy, and we'll just close for the night. But enjoy the song, and let God speak to you too about how special you are as well. God really loves you. He really does have a purpose for your life. You're not alone when you have doubts, but you can make a choice, and I pray right now that that choice would be faith. Lord, I pray for these people listening that you would give them the faith to make the decisions they need to make. I pray they would be filled with faith, Lord, just as you filled me with faith, just as you filled Lana with faith. Lord, as you filled Mary and Zechariah, Paul, John, Moses, Abraham, Sarah, Peter, Lord, you filled each one of them with faith for the particular calling that you had on their life. God, I pray you'd fill these people with faith right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you're not going to have faith to walk in any of this until you believe in Christ. And I know some of you may be watching, and you've never fully trusted God before either, just like the woman that wrote to me this week said she became a Christian maybe 10 years ago, but she never really fully trusted Christ. And I just want to pray that you would trust God tonight. And really, it's a simple thing, although sometimes it seems like the hardest in the world. But there's a way that you can just say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for what I've done. I believe that Jesus died for my sins so I could be with you in heaven forever. Please forgive me. And I invite Jesus into my heart to take over my life and be the Lord and ruler of everything that I do, say, and think. And that's it. Just repent, believe, and receive what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Let me read you this story that came to me this week on the internet. And it happened back in 1994. This is a true story from two Americans who were invited by the Russian Department of Education to come over to Russia and teach morals and ethics based on biblical principles in the public schools. They also spoke at prisons and at businesses. And one place they spoke was an orphanage where there were about 100 boys and girls who had been abandoned and abused and left in the care of the government-run program. This is the story that they related in their own words. It was nearing the holiday season, 1994, time for our orphans to hear, for the first time, the traditional story of Christmas. We told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. Finding no room in the inn, the couple went to a stable, where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Throughout the story, the children and orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some sat on the edges of their stools, trying to grasp every word. Completing the story, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make a crude manger. Each child was given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins I had brought with me, for there was no colored paper available in the city. Following instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid strips in the manger for straw. Small squares of flannel, cut from a worn-out nightgown an American lady was throwing away as she left Russia, were used for a baby's blanket. A doll-like baby was cut from tan felt that we had brought from the United States. The orphans were busy assembling their manger as I walked among them to see if they needed any help. All went well until I got to one table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old and had finished his project. As I looked at the little boy's manger, I was startled to see not one, but two babies in the manger. Quickly, I called for the translator to ask the lad why there were two babies in the manger. Crossing his arms in front of him and looking at this completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story very seriously. For such a young boy, who had only heard the Christmas story once, he related the happenings accurately, until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad lib. He made up his own ending to the story as he said, "And when Maria laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him, I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have any place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else did, but wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that maybe I could use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me and he told me I could stay with him for always." As little Misha finished the story, his eyes brimmed full of tears that splashed down his little cheeks. Putting his hand over his face, his head dropped to the table, and his shoulders shook as he sobbed and sobbed. The little orphan had found someone who would never abandon nor abuse him, someone who would stay with him for always. I've learned that it's not what you have in your life, but who you have in your life that counts. Thanks for listening to my story. Thanks for coming to the ranch. You know, it's not about what we have in life. It's about who we have in life. And we can have the most precious thing in life, the most precious person in life that's ever lived, and that's Jesus Christ. All you have to do is invite him into your heart, and you can lay your head down with him every night. You don't have to be alone. I want to talk at some point about the power of two, which is prayer squared, which means you and Jesus praying together, you and others praying together. But we don't have to walk through life alone. We have Jesus with us anytime we want, and he can be there for us anytime we need. I encourage you tonight to say a prayer to him tonight. Just recommit your life to him, recommit your ways to him, your plans and your actions, and say, God, just anything you want to do with me, I give it all to you. I give it all to you. Take me wherever you want to go. Do whatever you want to do with me. Let your purposes be fulfilled in me. Have a great week. I hope to see you next week at the ranch. If you'd like to stay and talk some more or share with others how you overcome your doubts or you have particular prayer requests, would you come and join us right now at the ranch chat room? It's on the page called Talk to Someone, and it says chat at the chat room in the ranch. And this is open after the live broadcast here on Sunday nights. And throughout the week, you can find me at pokey@theranch.org. Or if that email is down for some reason, you can find me at pokey@gridley.org. And those addresses are on your screen. Also, you can find me in ICQ, and we can chat during the day if you'd like to talk about something particular that you'd rather have a private conversation about. We'd love to do that too. For my wife and I, here in central Illinois, on a cool night in the winter, coming up on Christmas, we just say goodnight from the ranch.